I want to talk to you from the topic being faithful and wise. Anybody here that wants to be found being wise? Now, I don't want you to be wise in your own eyes, because the Bible says that's stupidity. Being wise, people need to look at you and say, wow, that's a wise man or a wise woman. Anybody here interested in becoming more wise? But there's something more important, or I won't say more important, but as important as being wise, and that is to be found faithful. It's to be found faithful. Jesus says we all should work in such a way here on earth and live in such a way here on earth that one day when we get to heaven, we will hear the following: good and faithful servant. Anybody that wants to die one day, go to heaven. Don't look at me like that. You're all going to die, but you want to go to heaven. Anybody want to go to heaven? Anybody want to go to heaven and hear my good and faithful servant? Well, I'm talking to the right people. I want to talk to you from the topic being faithful and wise. You see, family, your whole life has to be characterized as being faithful and wise. If you carry the Spirit of God, if you are born again, if you're a child of God, if Jesus has touched your life, when people look at us, they should see a life that is characterized by faithfulness and wisdom. So, two things that you and I constantly need to work at is being faithful and wise. So I want to share with you briefly how to become wise God's way. Because the Bible says many of us is wise in our own understanding. God's not interested in that. You know, that's worldly wisdom. That's human wisdom. So obviously you're here today and you're excited to become wise. So let's look at the basic principles, the basic stuff we can do. I'm not going to give you 10 steps of becoming wise. I'm going to share with you 3 or 4 things that when you implement these things, according to the Bible, there's many others, but I find these to be very basic, very practical, that when you apply these things into your life, you are going to start becoming wise like God wants you to be wise. You hear because you want to become more faithful. You hear because, don't mix with my monitors. What? I don't know what you're doing. They were just right. I didn't say nothing. Don't mix. Whoever. Okay? It's my monitors. You mix with my monitors, you make me uptight. Okay? Understand each other? Cool. You see, I lost totally. Lost my place. What did I say? You want to be wise? Then let's just become wise as God wants us to be wise. You want to be found faithful? Let's become faithful as God wants us to be faithful. Our life should be characterized by faithfulness and wisdom. So let's look at what the Bible says, how we can become wise according to God's way. Number one, Proverbs chapter 1:5, it says the following: a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Wow. Friends, the number one way of becoming wise is the following: learn to learn and increase your learning. Say it with me: learn to learn and increase my learning. You want to become wise as God wants you to be wise, God's way? Then be a student of learning. Learn to learn and increase your learning. Never come to a place where you think you've arrived. Never come there. I have been in the ministry for 14 years since I got born again, since I got saved, and I realize today that I know nothing. And I am constantly a student of learning. I'm constantly learning new things, and I've realized that those who learn to learn and increase learning, they become wise. Number one, learn to learn and increase your learning. Number two, Proverbs chapter 12:15 says the following: the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. I'm reading from different translations, so I know some of them out of my head and some I need to read. So, Second thing is learn to heed counsel. You want to become wise? Learn to be a person that when somebody sits you down and talk to you, they give you godly counsel and you learn from the godly counsel. You don't get offended and storm out of the room or think people don't love you. Friends, learn the following. When you have a problem with somebody or something, sit them down and talk to them about the issue. Don't talk to them through people or by the way. Sit them down. Say, listen, bro, we're not feeling each other over here. We're not clicking. Something's wrong over here. You know, and I like that. And let's talk about it. Don't get over yourselves. Don't talk through people to get to a point. Sit somebody now. Say, listen, this is what I have. I have this issue. Let's talk about it. And sort it out. And when a godly counsel comes to you in such a way and say, listen, bro, we need to talk. Can we meet up for a coffee? I want to talk to you about something that is vital for the church and for you. And somebody sits you down and you talk about this thing and they say, but listen, that what you've done there, that's not right. That's not principle. It's going to hurt people. It's going to hurt yourself. Learn to take that wise counsel on board because God loves you and God's using people to sort out your life and to get you to become wise. He says, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. In the multitude of counselors. You need to make sure that you listen to the right people, not just anybody. Go for godly counsel. Proverbs chapter 13, 20 says the following. He who walks with the wise will be wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. The quickest way to destroy God's work in your life is to keep on being associated with fools. Friends, listen to me. Somebody that is not getting you to church, that is keeping you away from church and God's stuff is a fool. Anybody that gets you away from God and church is a fool. You keep on hanging with those fools, they're going to destroy the wisdom of God in your life. Right. I don't care if they are the queen. If the queen keeps you away, and I don't think she would ever do that, from church, then I tell you she's a fool. Anybody that is keeping you away from God's stuff, getting you to compromise on God's stuff, is a fool. And if you keep on associating with those fools, you will never become wise. So what is the number one thing? What did I say? Number one, learn and increase your learning. No, that is number two. What is number one? Listen, learn this short thing as well. A short pencil, say it with me. A short pencil is better than a long memory. So don't sit here and think you're going to remember. You ain't going to remember, and you think you're going to buy the DVD or the tape. You're not going to buy the thing. You're not going to download it. So get a short pencil. Write it down. Number one. What is number one? Anybody? Heed wise counsel. Is that number two? Oh, sorry, I repent. It should be other way around. Then this, learn to learn and never stop learning. Then learn to walk, not with fools. Learn to walk with wise people. Friends, it's not an easy road to walk with wise people because you can't fool them. It's easier to walk with fools because you can fool fools. But you can't fool a wise man. So it's a difficult walk. To walk with wise men. Because they look through you. So you fool your friends and everybody, but you can't fool your pastor. So you rather walk with the fools, but with godly men and women. You want to become wise? Learn to walk with wise men and women, especially wise, godly men and godly women. Are you still with me? Proverbs 11:30 says the following. The fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise captures human lives for God. As a fisher of men, he gathers and receives them for eternity. Learn to learn. Never stop learning. Learn to listen to wise counsel. So now you need to listen to Pastor Tobu. Stop walking with fools. Start walking with wise men. And then the Bible says, he who wins souls, he who wins people for Jesus, that is a wise man and a wise woman. It's the easiest way to become wise. Just tell people about Jesus. Get them born again. Get them baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, you will become wise in the things of God. Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. He who connects men for eternity to Jesus, that man is a wise man or a wise woman. Are you still with me? He who fishes for men, who gathers them for eternity to Jesus, that is a wise man and a wise woman. Amen. Four very simple things you can apply to become wise. God's way. Now, it is very important to be found faithful as well. And we have to understand that our faithfulness and God's perspective of faithfulness are like two different things. You see, the challenge with many of us today is we found and classify faithfulness as coming to church once a month. Do you realize that some of you are sitting here and you see faithfulness as coming to church once a month? If I confront you and say, hey, bro, where were you last week? Now, why do you want to know, Pastor? You were in the church. But I come to church. Well, how many times you come to church? No, once in 4 weeks, Pastor. Oh, but that's not a faithful Christian. No, I'm faithful. No, I love Jesus. No, I'm 150% here, Pastor. Do you know that you find people reacting just like that?
Yeah.
Now I'm 150% here. You've seen them once in 6 months.
Yeah.
But they are faithful. You see, we have in our minds a perspective of faithfulness that is totally wacko, totally outside of God's perspective of faithfulness. Amen. So God wants us to be found faithful in his house. And in his work, in whatever we do. Are you with me? So let's see how God sees faithfulness through his eyes. Are you still with me? Luke chapter 16, verse, and we want to welcome the guys in Toronto that's with us today. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Sorry, I just went off preaching. How to be faithful in God's eyes. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says the following in the Amplified Bible. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been found faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not proved faithful in that which belongs to another, whether God or man, who will give you that which is your own, that is the true riches? Woo! Now let me ask you, forget about people. Let's just focus on Jesus. Right now, in a moment of 3 seconds, check at your faithfulness towards his house. Check your faithfulness towards other baby Christians. Because for many, that's a little thing. Just check your faithfulness in the way you treat money, your giving towards God's house, God's work, your caring for other people. In many of your eyes, that's little things. Oh, Pastor, but that's not so. You know, God loves me. You know. Yeah, I know that. It's nothing to do with love or grace or anything. It's to do about how to get you to become very faithful. You have to sweat the small stuff. You see, too many of you are not sweating the small stuff. And God wants you to sweat the small stuff. God wants you to be faithful in the very little things He gives in your hand. He gives a talent in your hand to be used in the band. He wants you to be faithful. He gives a person into your hand to care and to tend and to help and to guide. Found faithful in that. He gives you 10 pounds a month. Are you going to be faithful in returning to Him His tithe and give Him an offering? You see, unless you are faithful in money, and unless you are faithful in the little, you will never have much. You will sit in church and you will find people, they will get blessed and blessed financially. Then they will get, they don't have a wife, they get a wife. They don't have children, they get children. They don't have a car, they get a car. They don't have a house, they get a house. They don't, and you wonder, why are they so special? They ain't special. You don't know that they're sweating the small stuff. You don't know how they honor God with their giving. You don't see how they take care of that baby Christian when nobody else is taking care. How they go and pray for that person and make sure that person get to prayer and make sure that person get to church and make sure that person get... Church, talk to me, because you are living small lives. Many are living small lives, and God wants to entrust to you much bigger. God wants to expand you. God's a big God. But unless... you learn to sweat the small stuff. And until you put focus on your finances and how you honor God with money, you ain't going to receive much more. You ain't going to be found faithful so that God can give more to you. God wants to flood your life with abundance. God wants to give more to you. But you have to be found faithful in the little. Be honest in the little. I said to you a few Sundays ago that generosity is important to God. But I found something that is more important than generosity, and that's honesty. Honesty. Honesty is more important than generosity, because many of you sit here and you earn 2,000 pounds a month or 1,000 pounds a month, and you gave God 95 pounds. You see, but I'm generous. No, but the tithe is, if you're in a thousand, is 100. You're dishonest. But I'm generous, I give. No. You don't give what you should. Some of you are sitting every Sunday, and God speaks to you and tells you, listen, I want you to sow that. And then you say, oh Lord, but that's my holiday money. Take that 2,000 pounds and sow it into my kingdom. That's my holiday. So you go and you give, listen, and you give 1,000. Oh, but I gave. But you didn't give what God told you to give. Yeah. Dishonest. Now, if you keep on being dishonest, you're not going to be found faithful. And you're never going to be increased and given more responsibility and accountability in the kingdom. Don't die on me right now. You want to become, want to be wise and faithful? Listen to me. God is not a respecter of people, He's a respecter of principle. I'm trying to reveal to you the stuff that God wants you to embrace so that you can become more faithful. Dishonesty in a little. Learn to be faithful in the little things. Faithfulness in the little things show that you will be honest in much. Unjust in the little things show that you will be dishonest in much. In Matthew chapter 25 verse 14, it says the following. We're going to read it from 14 to 13. Are you ready? It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. Now I want to talk to you about ability. The lowest of ability is one-on-one. He says he gave to his servants, his own servants, according to their ability. To 1, 5. To 1, 2. And to 1-1. The lowest form of ability in the kingdom is one-on-one.
Yeah.
That's the lowest.
Yeah.
One should become two. Not one should become one. One should become two. Two should become four. God doesn't expect one to become five. His expectation is not one to five. His expectation is one gives you two. The lowest of ability is one makes another one. So if you are one here today and you are in the kingdom, God's expectation is according to your ability. And if your ability is one, then God expects another one. But if you are here and you are gifted and talented, and you have been given five talents, then God expects five more. To make it fair. Because He gives. Let me just explain this. He gives according to Pastor Eugene's ability. He looks at Eugene before he got born. He says, I'm going to make Eugene. Eugene is going to have black hair, blue eyes. He's going to look like this. He's going to do this. And then he's going to get saved. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to give him five. Bang! And God gave him five. And he looks at Pastor Nanette and says, Nanette is going to do this and this and this and this. But I just give it two. What God expects from Pastor Nanette is to take a two and make it four.
Amen.
What God expects from Pastor Eugene is he gave him five, he wants five more. He doesn't want one from him and half from her. And you and I, God gives us according to our ability, and you need to know that our ability, if your ability is five, then God expects five. He doesn't expect 50, he just expects five. Are you with me? Now let's go on. Then he who received the five talents went out and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received the two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents, watch this, came and brought the five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gathered five more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, look at this. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, of your Lord. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Did you see there? He didn't water it down. He didn't say, well done, fairly good and faithful servant. No, he complimented me the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Oh, family, anybody here that doesn't want to lose stuff, put up your hand. If you are in God's kingdom and you don't want to lose, then you will have to be found faithful. Faithful in the little things. Faithful in finances. Faithful in that what God has given into your hands. You see, if you're not faithful in the little things, you're never going to see much. If you're not faithful in finances, you are never going to have abundance. Period. Full stop. The only way you can have abundance in the kingdom is when you rob God. When you don't give as you should. And that automatically will show that you have more than others because you don't give unto God as you should. It's like a guy earning 10,000 pounds a month and he gives 1,000 pounds. And I'm earning whatever, say 10,000 pounds a month, and I give 500, I can save 6,000 pounds a year. Yeah. That makes me 6,000 pounds better off. But you never will never be better off in the kingdom if you are dishonest with money. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. So what is the Lord saying over here? He says, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So we sit sometimes in church and through life in church and we see just one person accelerating more and more and more. And we wonder, what the heck? Who's a favorite blessing? You know, God is busy with him and God's blessed. No, God is gathering all that which other people are not giving. You sit here today. Have any of you experienced sometimes it feels like your bank account has holes? Because these days we don't carry money. We have bank accounts. You look in the bank account, there's 100 pounds gone. You don't know how it... Am I talking to people here? God says over here. He gives you, you don't double it. He takes that, he gives to the ones that do double. Stay with me. I'm taking you somewhere. I want to show you what is faithfulness in the eyes of God. Being faithful in God's eyes is to multiply what you have. Faithfulness in the kingdom is multiplication. One becomes two, two becomes four, five becomes 10. You see, we don't see faithfulness as that. We see faithfulness as coming to church, serving a ministry. In it. But God doesn't see it. God sees faithfulness in double multiplication. So if you are a faithful child of God, anybody here loves Jesus? Amen. Amen. No, come on, say it with some attitude. You really love him. You want to really be found faithful? Amen. Then you need to double yourself. The last week, I heard about a pastor. I won't say I've known about him for many, many years. He's got one of the biggest churches in the world. He started off building a church in, I'm not going to say Nigeria, everybody will know. He started off building a church in Nigeria, which could seat 1,000 people. And he could never fill the place. And then he started to pray, and God one day came and supernaturally started to bless him. In such a way that in the beginning, they filled the church with 1,000 people on the inside side and 3,000 people on the outside. So every Sunday they had church, 1,000 people inside and 3,000 people in the overflow outside. Then he decided, okay, cool, obviously we need a bigger place. So they built a 3,000-seater. Then they filled the 3,000 seat on the inside, but then there were 30,000 people on the outside. That's amazing. And then they built a 50,000 seat church. And now they have 50,000 people under one roof and 350,000 people on the outside. So obviously now they're going to build 100 to 150,000 seat church. Just imagine how many people are going to be on the outside. And the key is the following. You can't be a member in that church unless you multiply yourself. You want to come and be part of that church? You want to keep your membership in that church? Then every year you need to multiply somebody that is as committed, as focused, as you. And if you can't do it, your membership gets revoked and you can't sit on the outside, you might be able to go and sit on the outside. On the inside, you might sit on the outside if you're lucky, if there's space. They caught this. They caught this. They realized what is faithfulness. So that means if you want to be found faithful, because we're all going to die, and we're all going to stand before Jesus if we're born again, we gave our lives in this life to Him. And what we ultimately want to hear then is, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in this, I'm going to use you in that. The preparation of the walk of eternity starts today. And you and I need to understand that faithfulness in the kingdom is multiplication. Amen. Stop trying to be faithful coming to church. This is what we do. Yeah. Let me just tell you guys one thing. If every one of you make up your mind to be faithful and multiply yourself every year once, we will not have enough room in the city to get people together. You will never have a problem with church attendance. You will never have a problem with giving. You will never have a problem with nothing. Amen. Because people are duplicating themselves. Amen. The second thing I want to ask you is the following. If you are duplicating yourself today, do you want to be that duplication? Do you want to be that duplicate? Will you be proud to be that duplication? Come, Christian, I'm talking to you. You love Jesus, I don't dispute that. He says faithfulness, forget about all the other stuff. Faithfulness is the little things, money, and multiplication. I expect, Jamal, you need to multiply yourself. There has to become another Jamal in 12 months. Now I'm asking, you are now going out to make another Jamal. Do you, will you be proud? Amen. Come on. Just ask yourself, will you be proud looking at that other duplication of yourself and say, I like that one. I like that one. God wants us to be faithful, but we have to understand God's faithfulness. Small things. A prayer meeting might be a small thing to you. It ain't to God. Faithfulness in giving might be a small thing to you. It ain't to God. It's a huge thing. Dishonesty might be a natural thing. It's not in the kingdom. But church, I want to tell you that every one of you are so gifted. Many of you have so many talents. Yep. And all God wants actually is one to make another one. Yes. Not just one, everyone reach one, but everyone make one. Yeah. I want to challenge you here today to become wise. Listen to wise counsel. Learn to learn and increase your learning. Amen. Become a soul winner. Listen to various wise counsel in your life telling you how to do and not to do. Go and win souls. It's the easiest thing. It doesn't take nothing to be teachable. Yes. Doesn't take nothing to learn from the people that's ahead of you. Doesn't take nothing. It doesn't take nothing from you to go to a person and tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. And have you ever heard the gospel? Have you ever heard that you can have eternal life today? That God will forgive you of everything. He will restore you. You can become part of the eternal household of God. Have you heard this? Have you ever heard about this? Have you ever heard that God can change your life because God has changed my life? It doesn't take nothing. Simple things to become wise. But it's going to take everything from you to become faithful. Because you will have to fight the old self every day. Yeah. Even right now, some of you have to fight the old you telling you are okay. Yeah. You ain't faithful until you sweat the small stuff. You're not going to be found faithful until you are found faithful with money. And then the deepest step is God wants you to duplicate yourself, at least. Some of you here, God expects only one person to become a disciple like yourself. But from others, God expects 10 a year, or 12 a year, or 50 a year, according to what he has given into you. Now, let me ask you a simple question, because some of you don't understand what I'm on when I'm here. What do you think God has placed in me? Because you sit here Sunday after Sunday and you think I'm nuts, I'm losing it. Do you think God has given me a fivefold gift? Five, just five. Do you think God expects from Pastor Tabo only five? And a number? If you say a million, so then you need to think a little bit, because this man has to act and react as if one that wants to reach a million. It's going to make life very, very uncomfortable for you. Because you are satisfied with one or half a one or less than a one. I am not satisfied, because I know Jesus is going to say to me one day, ching, ching, where's my million? So you need to understand there's going to be men of God, men of God and women of God in your lives, like pastors. God has given them gifts. And God's hand is maybe a pastor to the next hand, head, and say, I want at least 50 disciples a year. I gave you the gift to give 50. And if she is serious and loves Jesus, she has to work according to achieve that. And then God is so, how can I say, snogs, funny to give us people under us that only has a mindset of half or nothing. And God says, work with them to get your 50. You have to work with to achieve your faithfulness before God. And that is, just one. Just start with one. All I'm asking is, your pastor here, do you want to be found faithful? Just duplicate yourself once every year. Go find another person. Tell them about Jesus. Baptize them. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Get them involved in church. Get them in love with Jesus. Get them to serve in church. Let them become a giver like you are a giver. Let them become a servant like you are a servant. That's what God expects from all of us. And if you keep on working on those people that God has given you and help them to become what God has called them, then we are going to be found faithful in doing what God has called us to do. Are you still with me? And friends, you don't have to worry about things, because Jesus enables us to be able to do these things. He gives us the power to do this. And he wants you to do this. He doesn't say to you, okay, there's five and I want five from you and you're not going to see me again. The Jesus of the New Testament is not going to leave you unable to make your 5-10. In the New Testament, he says you are well able. He says you are more than conquerors. He says you have been given anything, everything that pertains to life. Amen. You've got all the goods in you to do what God has asked you to do. So how can you do that? Let's read through scriptures. I'm coming in for a line. Is it helping somebody? Yes. Matthew 25 verse 1, it says the following. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise. 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. The wise and the foolish slumbered and slept. You see there? But at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Five wise, five foolish. Friends, today, your road to wisdom can start here today. Number one, by heeding wise counsel. Number two, to learn from Pastor Tabu's sermon and never stop learning from everywhere. Then make up your mind, I'm going to become a soul winner. Become a soul winner. Are you with me? Then make up your mind, I'm going to sweat the small stuff. Small stuff is important. I'm going to focus on the small stuff, the detail. Then I'm going to be faithful in finances. I'm going to give as God wants me to give. I'm never going to withhold. I'm going to live open hand to the work of God. Are you with me? And I'm going to duplicate myself. I'm going to make up my mind, if I'm a keyboard player, to duplicate another keyboard player. If I'm a home cell leader, to duplicate another home cell leader. If I'm a member, I'm going to find another person and make them a member. If a person is not saved, then I'm going to get them saved like myself. Amen. But you can start your journey here today by applying wisdom. Many of you are born again. You can either be a wise born again person or a foolish born again person. The wise is the following. They had vessels, oil in their vessels, not in their lamps. There's a difference between having oil in the lamp and oil in the vessel. Remember, the oil in the lamp ran out, but the oil in the vessel not. The thing is, you need to have oil in your soul dimension. Wise people are under control by the Holy Spirit in their soul dimension. Their mind, their emotion, and their will is in line with God. Therefore, the Bible says, do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is God's good and acceptable and perfect will for your life. I have found people that are full of the Holy Spirit, but their minds are not renewed and they still live a substandard life. They live an unwise life. They are full of the Spirit, but their minds are not under the control of the Holy Spirit. Then you find in my own life, in dry seasons of my life, where I don't know even if God is still with me, because you have those seasons. But because my mind is transformed, my emotions and my will and my mind, my emotions and my will is under the control of the Holy Spirit, I don't lose my way. I still make the right decisions. I still do the stuff that God wants me to do. Nothing shifts me away from it, because not just my vessel, my born-again spirit is filled with the Spirit, but my soul is filled with the Spirit. And many times people's souls are not filled with the Holy Spirit, and then pressure comes, and then they make stupid decisions, get into wrong relationships, take on new businesses which they shouldn't have taken on, move away from God. It's not wise. Nobody can get you to submit your will, your mind, and your emotion under the control of the Holy Spirit. And friends, let me tell you one thing today. You are a wise virgin if you have oil in your soul dimension. When your mind is renewed, your will is under the will of God, your emotions are under the will of God. Because there's going to come seasons where you will wonder, where's God? Come on, let's just be real. I want to be real with you. I'm a pastor for 14 years. There's seasons where I felt, where are you, Lord? But it's in those seasons I've also found that I had to make the most difficult decisions I could ever make. It's as if God is calling in those seasons. Calling me, come to a new dimension. And then it's easy to back down when you're not under the control of the Holy Spirit, when your mind is not filled with the Word and with principle and with the Holy Spirit and how God works. You can quickly back down. If I started this service and I asked, who of you want to go higher and further with God? All of you would have jumped up. But I have found when God wants to take us higher and further, it's found in the wilderness. Before Canaan was the wilderness. And in the wilderness, God asked them to step it up. And if your mind and your emotions is not uncontrolled, and your will is not controlled by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, you're not going to make the right decision in that wilderness to walk in faith and to trust God and to push through. Because it said they were all asleep, and then he called. So all heard the call. Come up to where I am. Move further, Tabu. Plant a new campus, Tabu. Do this, Tabu. And I don't know why God calls us in times where we feel it's dry, it's burning, we are walking, we've been around this mountain, I've seen this place before. I knew what it took to get out of this place, and now God is saying, come. I want you to go higher, I want you to go further, come to where I am, come, 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 I'm calling you. You see, those whose minds are full of the Word and whose minds are full of the Spirit, they can then draw on that vessel that contains the principles and the right decisions. And no matter what my feeling is, I know that God is good. I know that God loves me. I know that God wants to take me further. Because 6 months ago, I was excited and I prayed for God to take me further. But in the last 6 months, I went through this whole desert and this wilderness. And now suddenly God is saying, come. Amen. Have you experienced that? Amen. Don't worry. Stay with Jesus. You're going to experience that. Amen. But you see, when your mind is not full of the Word and full of, in that time when he says come higher, you're going to back down, and then you can't draw from others. I cannot then draw from Pastor so and so's faith. Did you read it there? He says, no, get your own. Get your own. Friends, there's going to be a time where you can't draw from other people's faith and other people's anointing and other people, where you have to draw from your own. If you're a wise servant, you would say, Lord, every Sunday, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You will study the Word so that your mind can be full of the Word. And you will apply basic principles like this, what I explained to you, to become wise. Focus on the small things. Sweat the small stuff. In the house of God, sweat the small stuff. I tell you today, there might be a piece of paper hanging around. Take it off. There might be, the guy that you serve under in a department tells you, why are you late 5 minutes? Now, this, you have the valid reason, you know, tube delayed. Don't always try to justify yourself. Just say, sorry, I will be here next time. I will be on time. God wants to take you further. You sit here today, God is telling you, I've been telling you to give. This is the amount I want you to give. And then you give 5 pence short. 5 pence short is 5 pence short. It's just it. Dishonest. Said you will do something, you don't do it. Dishonest. It's all these things that God sees as faithful. And when we focus on them, we will become more faithful. Are you with me? And I tell you today, God wants to move all of us to a place of more faithfulness and more wisdom. God wants to flood your life with wisdom. Amen. Amen. Flood your life with wisdom. You have everything pertaining to eternal life. You've got the Word. You've got godly leadership. You've got the Holy Spirit. You are born again. You've got everything going for you to be found faithful and wise. And I tell you, work on your faithfulness. Work on wisdom. Because we need many people that are faithful and wise in the house of God. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you love us and care about us. We love you. We honor you. I pray, Lord, that you will lead us into paths of faithfulness and wisdom. Thank you for this church. Thank you for every member. Thank you, Lord, for those who are pursuing to become faithful in the little things. I pray that you will show us, Holy Spirit, all the little things that we need to focus on to be found faithful. I thank you for unrighteous mammon, like that it will not control us, but that we will be generous, giving when you tell us to give, sowing when you tell us to sow. We thank you that we can hear your voice. And I also thank you, Father, right now for those who are here today, even though they don't know you, I know that you love them, that you brought them here today because you want to touch their lives. Maybe you are here today and you say, Thabo, if I'm honest, my life is not right with God. I've tried many things to change my life, but I kept on falling short. I tell you, I've got good news. You are always going to fall short because you tried to do it yourself. But the good news is the following. 2,000 years ago, Jesus stepped into this world to die for you on a cross so that today you can believe and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And you know what? The day you receive Jesus, the day you give your life to Him, everything is going to change. It will change. God is going to come into your life. He's going to transform your life. He's going to love you like no man or woman can, and He's going to use you for His glory. Maybe you're here today and you say, Thabo, I want this. I can believe that Jesus can save me, transform me, and give me the assurance of eternal life. Friend, if it's you that I'm talking about, while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and you say, that's you, can I please pray for you before we go? All you need to do is to quietly slip up your hand. Just show me my hands. Just wave quickly. Say, Thabo, here I am. I want to be included in this prayer. I know that God loves me. I realize it now. And I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior into my life. I want to ask God to come into my life.
Amen. There's another lady coming. We're going to wait for you. I want every one of you to quickly look up to me. You know what? You are so special. God loves you so much. This whole day is arranged for this moment. And I know it's an emotional moment. That's because God is here. Because no man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That just means you have heard God's voice telling you to come back home. All I'm going to do is I'm going to facilitate this whole thing. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I don't want you to feel bad about nothing, because the Bible says God loves you as you are, but God expects us to repent of our sins, to turn away from it and to follow Him. And you know what? It's simple. If you do that, God's going to change your whole life. And God's going to use you for His glory. And that's what God wants to do. Amen. So I want everybody else to stretch out to them. I want you to put your hand on your heart, close your eyes, and pray this out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today and I ask for forgiveness. I receive it. I believe, Father, with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. That He died for my sins so that I can have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting me, for loving me, and for dying for me. Father, I pray that you will use me in your kingdom for your glory. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.